The top 10 fears, by the way, and I want to go through them from bottom up. Water, swimming and drowning is number 10.
Mm-hmm.
People afraid of storms, number 9. We'll go through some of these in a second. Number 8, public transportation, especially airplanes. Number 7, crowds. 6, tunnels and bridges. 5, spiders. 4, heights. 3, confined spaces. I had an MRI a few years ago, and they put me in one of these tubes. They weren't, the brand new ones are open MRIs. This was a tube. I felt like I was in a casket. That's kind of freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, snakes. But number 1 is something that, for me, I love doing, but a lot of people apparently don't, public speaking. It's their top fear.
Well, you have a gift, definitely. I had a fear of public speaking, and I got over it when I had to eulogize my mother, who passed away a few years ago, and none of the other family wanted to say anything or really even have a ceremony. And I said, oh, my goodness, you know, we have to honor her memory. If no one else will do it, I will. And, George, after that, I could talk to anybody anytime, anywhere.
Good for you. I don't like clowns. I would not say I'm deathly afraid of them, but I don't like their beady little eyes and their pointy little teeth, and I don't find them funny. You know?
I'm with you on that.
I don't. Maybe it was the Stephen King movie and book, It. Maybe that's what did that. Spiders? Eh. I'm not afraid of them, but I really don't prefer them. You know, I don't want to see a spider walk all over me. But they're high. These lists are high.
Absolutely. My mother, who I just mentioned, had a terrible fear of snakes. She claimed that when she was a little girl, a runner snake. Have you ever even heard of a runner snake?
No. Garter snakes, probably. Maybe that's it.
Maybe. But she claimed that it ran after her and her sister and chased them for a mile. I don't know whether my mother had a particularly good imagination, but she swears that it had happened. And so she sort of instilled the fear of snakes in me, too.
That's something else. All right. Now, what is the common characteristic of people who are courageous? And tell me, you know, I was talking about, you know, courage, but give me your definition, your take on courage.
My take on courage is people that act in the moment and they act in the interest of others, like, you know, themselves included. But mostly they're thinking of, I've got to protect my children or my mom or the stranger or my fellow soldier or, you know, the neighbor whose house is being swept away in a tsunami. They just, it's almost an animal instinct, George, that they just, you know, I guess there's the fight or flight, and it's more related to the fight. And so they just are instantaneously, almost without thinking, know the right thing to do. And so it's action. And you can still be afraid, but you're acting with courage.
And is this something that kicks in then when you least expect it? And maybe even the individual doesn't even know that he or she has this ability, has this courage. But when something happens, an event, whether it's physical courage, as I talked about, moral or plain courage, it kicks in whenever they have to react to it.
It does. And they would even still afterwards, if you said, my goodness, or handed them a Medal of Honor or whatever, they would probably say, I didn't do anything. I just did what you would do.
You know, I think, and this is, you know, you may think, wow, what's he talking about here? But I think policemen have courage. I think truck drivers have courage. I think people who get up in the morning and have to go to work and come back, they have courage. I think it's just all relative, isn't it?
I think it is. I actually think nurses, whenever I go to a hospital, you know, whether it's for a checkup or to visit a friend who's sick, I am stunned and amazed by nurses who work unbelievably hard and long hours on their feet. I couldn't do it. And to me, like, they're helping. They really know their stuff, technical smarts and all that. And they're acting from such kindness. There can be a whole kind aspect to courage. Again, I think if there's like a helping instinct, like maybe it's the oxytocin hormone.
What would you say about this? How would you categorize these people? Let's say a woman's on the street. She's getting molested. She's getting beaten up or whatever, even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't get involved. They simply walk by, close their doors, you know, go the other way. What's wrong with them?
I definitely have a feeling about that. I haven't witnessed it, but I do know some stories. They have seen too much. They are desensitized. You know, it could be that they live on a street where they hear sirens every half hour on the half hour. They hear screams. And at first, you know, early on, they had the same helping, you know, instinct towards courage. But after months, years, they became desensitized and kind of deadened. So, you know, they need to move, whatever it takes, like, to get them to a place where they can reclaim their, you know, their original courage and reclaim their heart and their soul.
Let's talk a little bit, Nina, about fear.
Mm-hmm.
It saps us, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It can make you sort of go to sleep to yourself, is what I call it. And, you know, you just sort of go numb. So you have to jerk yourself out of that. I mean, I've had, you know, phases where I was not, you know, the most courageous person on the block many, many times.
It's kind of Machiavellian, but I think a lot of politicians would like to keep individuals fearful.
Oh, yes. I could not agree more. There's going to be so much fear-mongering. There already is, but between now and the elections, it's going to be hour by hour, minute by minute. It's like, you know, fear is a product, and they're hard selling it to us.
Well, you know, here we are in the midst of the worst economic calamity that most people can remember, because a lot of them weren't around during the horrid days of the crash many, many years ago. And so, you know, they're faced with this bombardment every day, terrorism, unemployment, this, that. How much can people take?
Well, I think that humans are very resilient, and we can take a lot. I think one of the number one ways to help yourself and help others deal with the constant bombardment, as you put it so well, is to stay connected to each other. Do not isolate. Another one of my sayings that I picked up somewhere along the line is that isolation is the soul killer. We can't stay isolated. I mean, you've got a community that listens to you. You've created a community, and you know you're doing good by doing that, because people can connect, reach out, talk amongst themselves, call in. So that's very good. So stay connected. Talk about it. In talking about it, you realize you share fears. Maybe somebody can give a good tip. Well, I heard about this. Try this. So creation of community is, I think, the simplest and best way to deal with the chaos.